Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Jose.
And we're best friends. What happened there? You looked panicked.
Get out quickly. Let's just finish it. Come on.
Oh, Joss, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm glad to have air conditioning.
Yes.
I'm great, actually.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. I, too, am doing quite well. And, can't complain.
Things considered, you know.
Yeah. So we have a letter this week. I think a lot of listeners will relate to this.
Yeah.
Why don't you give it a read?
I'm going to give it a read. Dear ladies, one of your podcast episodes hit a nerve with me, and so I ask you this question. When is enough enough with friendship? I've known Parmela, not her real name, for 15 years. She has some great qualities. Always available to listen, really kind, funny, book smart, but her life is in ruins all the time. Her longtime boyfriend is an asshole who treats her poorly. She has the attitude of, but we've been together so long, I can't start over now. She acknowledges that he's an asshole and even makes fun of him, but doesn't break up with him. I think he pays a lot of the bills, but he also decides how and when she gets to spend money. Her kids are spoiled teenagers, and she acts like their servant and excuses their rudeness because she feels guilty that she divorced their father and they have to put up with asshole boyfriend. She has her own business, but it's floundering, not because of COVID-19, but because of mismanagement on her part. Over the years, Parmela has asked for advice, input, and help. I own 3 businesses, have more than 24 employees, and have an MBA. I've given advice, set up systems, given her marketing tips, etc. I was excited that she wanted help. Then I'd be discouraged when she would fall back to her usual mess and usual ways that have the same results. She'd also complain about her kids and then say, what would you do? I have 3 now adult kids who are all functioning and decent people. I'd give advice, she wouldn't take it. And 6 months or a year later, she'd be talking about the same issue. Fine, her life, right? But she still seems helpless to deal with her issues. It's like she's constantly in a burning house and you're standing at the door yelling, this way, Parmela, over here, and she waves and goes towards the flames. I worry about her all the time, her health, her finances, her floundering. She has a shitty childhood, so I get that she has issues, but I'm confused as to how someone who's smart and kind could have such a disaster for a life. I don't understand the chaos and failure and false starts for so many years and not doing something different. It makes my affection and love and respect for her shrivel. She makes bad decision after bad decision, and she's so down these days. We're not young women. Her life is probably not going to turn around. I know I can't change her. I wish her life was different. And she says she does too. But here we are, almost 60, and she acts like she was born yesterday. I don't know how to be friends with her anymore. I remember how we used to be so close and laugh so much, and I think I've never had a closer friend. But that was a long time ago. I want to stop being friends, but I think it would kill her, or at least dramatically hurt her, and she's so fragile. Sometimes she says stuff like, I know I'm a hard person to stay friends with, and I'm thinking, yes, you sure are. But I don't know how to stand back and watch her disintegrate either. Please help. Signed, Heartsick. Okay. Heartsick. It's a good one. Let me put this in.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot. I have many notes. Would you like me to start?
Please do.
So I start off by saying emotionally your friends need professional care, like big time, and possibly needed this care before her current boyfriend when her marriage was failing. So there's that. Yeah. You should have been in therapy a long time ago.
Yeah, from like age 12 on.
Yeah, age 12 on. The one thing that really stuck out to me, and it really gets my goat, is when someone says, I know I'm a hard person to stay friends with. It's very, this victim mentality. It's very manipulative. And I immediately gets my dander up, right? Because if someone were saying something like that to me, I would feel as if I needed to jump in and say, but no, you're the greatest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that makes me also feel manipulated, which then makes me resent you for putting me in that position. So I don't like that, that sort of victim-y thing. But I think that has to do a lot with her emotional state and whatever is going on with her boyfriend. At the end of my notes here, and I'll just mention it at the top right now, is that you might want to call the National Domestic Abuse Hotline. I have the number, 1-800-799-7233. I only say that because he treats her poorly. He's definitely an asshole, but he is very controlling because he makes the money and decides how to spend it and all like that. You never know what's going on there, how far that's gotten. It might be verbally abusive. It might be more. And so it couldn't help to ask Pernilla a couple of questions and then recommend the hotline. Yeah. I'll read the number again at the end. But the other things I was thinking about with Heartsick, twofold. My answer is, the majority of my answer is about maintaining the friendship. And then the last part of my answer is about getting rid of the friendship. So, twofold. So, first I thought maybe have a conversation about what the future of your friendship looks like, okay? Which definitely sounds like a romantic exercise. This is what you do with your partner. Mm-hmm. What do you think, thinking of us in the next year, the next 5 years? That's what you do with a romantic partner. But it can't hurt to try that with this friend. Because the point that you're trying to make here is to start a conversation that lets you establish boundaries. This is what you need.
Okay.
So, so anytime she says, I know I'm a hard friend to have, she makes that comment, you can then respond with, yes, you are. I think, Heartsick, you should tell the truth here. You've been friends with this person for 15 years and you haven't told her that one truth yet. So tell her that truth. And then say, why do you think you're a hard friend to have?
I think that's brilliant, Jess, because it is true that whether she's consciously manipulating you or not, Heartsick, she's putting you on the spot to stake your claim.
Yes.
You know, she's saying, like, you can break up with me as a friend if you want. And you are almost obliged to say, no, I would never.
Right. Doing that effectively hamstrings you, Heartsick, right? Because you can't leave the friendship because you're afraid she'll disintegrate, as you said in the letter. And now she's asking you, she's not asking, but when she says, I know I'm a hard friend to have, it's like she's trying to take the temperature of where you are in the friendship. Are you about to leave? Are you? And I just resent that because it's sort of an underhanded kind of conversation to have when what you need to do is bring all of this to light, which is what I'm recommending in when you say that. So she says, I know I'm a hard friend to have. You respond with, you say that a lot. Why do you think you are a hard friend to have? Then you listen to what she has to say. And then you agree that she has been hard. This has been hard. And you say, why? Which you say in your letter. It's been hard for you because I worry all the time about her health, her finances, her floundering. That's a lot. For a friend to take for 15 years, right?
Yeah.
So you say that to her. This is why you have been hard. I've been worried about this a lot. It makes me anxious. It makes me feel this way. Use your I statements. I feel this when you do that. You know, let her know that her shitty relationship worries you. And this is why it's been hard to be friends with her, hard to sit here and watch her do this. And then explain about how manipulative her asking you or stating that she's a hard friend is, and explain why that makes you feel resentful. Okay.
Yeah.
The whole point of this exercise, again, is to start a conversation where you can establish boundaries, because from what I read in this letter, there have been none. There have been none, no boundaries. And what has to happen now is you to establish some. Once you do that, and then once she crosses the boundaries, you then can say, you've done this. We've talked about this. I'm not going to continue on. I already told you this was going to be the consequence. But you have to establish the boundary before you can do that, right?
Yeah, I think that's really smart. You know,
like dropping her saying like, I'm out, I can't stand it anymore.
Right.
Isn't really fair at this point because you've stood it for so long without saying, this is hard. You know, you're draining. I'm worried about you.
Right.
You know, what's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over.
Right.
And, you know, but to kind of put her on notice of, you know, you are correct. This is difficult. And we've had this conversation so many times. And I relate to the idea that you can show her a better way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll set up these systems for your business. Like, look at me. I have successful businesses. Would you like me to mentor you?
Right.
And then she does nothing. Again, that's manipulation.
Yeah.
Because she's saying, if you help me, then I will do better. And then you right. help her and she doesn't do better.
And she doesn't do better.
But it's also the notion that you have the power to fix people.
Right.
Which is not, I don't think, an ego thing as much as a love thing. You want
right.
her. You want her life to be better. You know, you think like, I know how to do this. I'll give you advice. If you follow it, I think things will be better for you. And I mean, I would guess you say that you're almost 60. I think she probably knows everything she needs to know. It's just a matter of walking the walk.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. But I do think the exercise of asking her, where do you think you see yourself in a year and our relationship in another year, it kind of forces you to look down that path to see where this is going. She'll, yeah. you know, she either has to admit that this has been an ongoing loop of the same old, or that she's, you know, wants to see something different happen with herself and how you fit into that view of herself. Right. So where do you see yourself in a year with regards to the kids, with regards to your business and your boyfriend? Do you see yourself making any strides towards resolving the issues you have? Do you think things will be the same? And then how do I, letter writer, figure into all of this? I feel like if you can get her to explain how she views your relationship, whether it's a relief from stress of her regular life or a safe port in the storm, then you can indicate what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, right, in terms of that relationship. So, for example, if she answers your question with, I love all the laughs we have and all the fun, then you can say, me too, let's do more of that. And when you schedule time to be with her, it's with concrete things in mind. You're going zip lining. You're going to the movies. You're doing things, right? It's not getting together to hang, because hanging leaves too much room for her to talk about her problems that she's unwilling to fix, that you've already tried to fix a million different times, right? If she answered your question with, you're someone I can talk to about everything that's horrible and stresses me out, then, you know, you definitely got to ask her to consider a therapist, because that you're worried and about her and her inability to be proactive and that, or just plain old active. It doesn't sound like this woman is doing anything that has forward motion, and about her problems, and that they are affecting your own emotional health, which is the truth. You worry about someone for over a decade.
Yeah.
You see them being possibly verbally abused by a partner, a boyfriend. You see them being, you know, treated badly, spoiled by their children. You see her business floundering, which must mean that her financial issues are through the roof. My God. And that's stress enough. And of course, that's going to be a stress on you too. And that you are willing to help her, but you can only go so far, right? You're not equipped to go all the way.
You know, and I think that is something, it's one of the myths we talk about, Joss.
Yes.
Is that, you know, I am here for you no matter what. And that's just unrealistic when you have someone whose life is a dumpster fire.
Right.
You know, you're not a fireman. You know, you're not supposed to go right. rushing into the building to drag out the bodies. And you're supposed to be a friend. And and friendship is not supposed to mean fixing.
Right.
And it's also not supposed to mean watching someone kind of like pour gas on themselves and set fire to themselves.
Right.
I agree. Both of those, they can't be sustained.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would guess too that someone who says, like, I know I'm hard to be friends with, is someone who has lost close friends.
Yeah. How true. Absolutely.
You know, I whose friends have just said, like, I can't anymore.
It's just too hard. It's too much. Yeah. But they didn't have this kind of conversation, which I really think gives you steps to either making the relationship one that you can handle or making it not a surprise when the relationship fails. No one's surprised. Everyone's aware.
I think you're on fire for this letter, Joss. All your advice is so good. she's looking at the roof now. She's doing a little happy dance. But really, like, I think a lot of us have those friends. We really love them, but we view them and judge them. And, you know, like, let's be honest, every person judges every other person that they come in.
Yes.
You make judgments about everything. And when you're with a friend with somebody, you know, you're judging them and saying, like, oof, this is a mess and you shouldn't be doing this. And letting go of that is easier said than done.
Yeah, you're right.
To be able to enjoy a friend for their qualities and let their flaws sit to the side for that evening or that weekend or whatever you do.
Yeah.
It's possible, but it takes a lot of focus and kind of some ground rules of, like, let's not talk about asshole boyfriend when we get together, you know, because, like, I don't want to hear the same things you've been telling me for all these years.
Right. And I think Hartsik needs to remember that for 15 years, she hasn't been able to solve this person's problems, not for lack of trying and not because she wasn't willing, but because she is not equipped. Emotional problems that are this great, you know, the bad childhood, the shitty boyfriend, the kids that are a problem, the bad business. This is beyond we as lay people. This is beyond our efforts. If you had like a broken leg or if I broke my leg, I wouldn't go hobbling over to your house, Kristen, and be like, please fix me. So, I mean, I would go to a doctor. When I have emotional problems, you've got to go to a doctor also. You've got to get those therapies also. So I think it's important to recognize that particularly people when they feel like they have compassion fatigue, we've talked about this before, is that you're not necessarily equipped to deal with this, especially if it's this unending loop, because that's another problem that a therapist can solve, is this constant loop of the same problems over and over and over again, the same sort of, you can't get out of that rut. That's a little bit of anxiety going on. There's a lot going on there, but that's a therapist should be dealing with that. So I know that conversation, the tough one, you always talk about the one hard conversation, really hard to have, but I firmly believe that there are no boundaries here right now. None that are seen. It's too slip sliding through each other. It's very merged, marbled in together. And so you want to create some hard and fast ones. You start with this conversation. That way, the boundaries, once they're made, once she crosses them, she'll say her usual thing, I know I'm a hard friend to have. You can stop her immediately and say, we've talked about this. And, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. Remember. And she'll, you know, it's a nice place to start. Be prepared for her to change up that phrase. So she might say something like, I know I'm a hard friend to have, but I'm supposed to stop saying that. Oh my God, it's still manipulative. So you've got to check her. Please don't do that. The boundary still applies. So you can say something like that, Carmela, all you've done is change the way the manipulation sounds. The effect on me is still the same. And we've talked about this. And so have you found a therapist yet? How's that working out for you?
I think too that Hartsik needs to acknowledge that chances are very high that Carmela will never change.
Never.
And that this will always be her life. And, you know, it's like a friend who is sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I really want to tidy up my house. But she's a sloppy person. It's going to get sloppy again, you know? Yeah. And acknowledge that, like, there's some comfort in not doing all the tidying for her. It's not a priority for her. She just likes to live in a in a sloppier house, and it works for her, and it's not a failure necessarily.
Right.
I think that this friend, that Parmela, a lot of her identity comes from being a failure. And
wow,
it sounds really harsh, and it just kind of popped out of my mouth. But yeah. I think that, you know, if she's this old and hasn't figured it out yet, none of these things is a new problem. If you're 60 years old, you had your kids in, let's say, your 30s, you know, this decades of parenting choices and partner choices and not doing certain things with the business to make it thrive, you know, she's probably not going to get better.
I agree with that. I think it also shows how really futile it was for Hartzik to be trying in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, Hartzik can look back on this and see, wow, I really spent a lot of time trying to help her.
Yeah.
And you probably weren't the only one, Hartzik.
Great.
Probably weren't the only one. She's probably got other people trying to help her too. So, again, Kristen's right. I don't know that this is something you can fix. All you can do is create some boundaries, remind her of those boundaries, which then gives you a jumping off point. If you do have to end the relationship, you know, we've talked about this. This was something I was saying I wasn't going to put up with anymore. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to. But at least she knows, right? It's not coming out of nowhere. It's not blindsided. I understand, Hartzik, that you think she's very fragile,
She's late in her, you know, she's looking at 60. So
yeah,
she's been this many decades.
She has. And that can't be your problem. I'm sorry about how harsh that sounds.
Yeah.
Because Hartzik says here, it will at least dramatically hurt her. I mean, you can't be responsible for that anymore. You've done it for 15 years, Hartzik.
Yeah.
You just can't be responsible. So my advice is establish boundaries with the thought in mind that when you have this conversation about what our relationship looks like in the next year, in the next 6 to 10 months, 12 months, you can bring up again, hey, this is nothing has changed. And I've established these boundaries and you've crossed everyone. And so this is the consequence of that.
It might feel too, when you get together and you have, you know, you have this conversation, you have these boundaries, it might feel weird and difficult to kind of stay in this new lane that you've created for yourself of like, we will not discuss this, that, and the other thing. And let's be honest, all these problems are juicy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that it's hard not to talk about because you want to say like, has anything changed with asshole boyfriend or, you know, is your daughter any less of a bitch or,
right.
You know, I think it's difficult to steer away from those things. So it might take some practice to say, when I see, Parmela, we're going to talk about movies and books and, you know, politics or whatever. And those are our safe
place
subjects and that we can have laughs over those things. We can watch old movies together and enjoy that, but we cannot veer off into this. And, you know, that's okay.
That is okay.
You don't want to be sucked into this maelstrom of her chaotic, disastrous life.
Right. And Dr. Khaleesi has told us a couple of times, which is, you know, you hear the problem about the bitchy daughter and your response is, wow, how are you going to handle that?
Yeah, that sounds hard.
Oh, that sounds hard. What do you plan on doing about that? Always turn it right back around.
And I think too, like one of the most flattering things in life is to be asked for advice.
Yeah.
You know, like Joss, you know, you seem so level-headed and calm and everybody likes you. Like, why can't I be more like you? And you're like, oh, I am kind of you know? You know, it's really flattering to think that you have the answers because your life is succeeding on certain levels and that if only you gave her the secret.
Yeah.
He would then change. And that's, I think, especially with women, I think that's a myth.
Yeah.
That first of all, that we're friends to the grave, which we've talked about so many times, Joss.
Yeah.
And how, you know, the media and fiction movies, they both love a friendship that does, you know, the Steel Magnolias. We are friends through every horrible thing in our life. We've been friends since kindergarten. You will be by my bedside as I breathe my last. Or we're catfighting.
Yeah. Those are the only two ways to be. Yes.
And somewhere in between is most of us.
Yeah.
You know, where we are deeply committed to friendships and we've, you know, built these up over the years. But when they become an emotional drain, when you're worried, when you're losing sleep over this person, when, you know, when you feel like my job is to take care of her,
right? That,
she's not your child,
right?
This is an optional relationship.
Yeah.
And hard as it might be, you can end it.
Yes.
And just say, that is a weight off my shoulders. I regret, I mourn, I miss the good times, but boy, it's nice not having to carry her.
Right, right. You know what my problem is? What I always do is I always think, if I just said it the right way, then they'd get it, right?
Yeah.
Then it would fix everything.
Right. You just need to phrase it, which is the best sentence.
Yeah.
I know. And I mean, I have in my life written letters to people when I've had issues, whether it's like family members or friends, where you think like, now they will know my heart by this sentence. And they don't.
No, they never do.
I mean, there is no right way. It's not a problem with you.
It's
a problem with them and how you communicate with them and what that friendship is bringing to your life and what it's taking away from your life. And I think that, Joss, you had given some advice in another episode or just maybe a phone call between us of like, set a date.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Set a date, which is why I mentioned, you know, having a conversation about what do you think is going on in another year? How do you see us? How do you see yourself? There's your deadline. So in 6 months, you do a check-in. How are things going, right? And mark your calendar. And then in a year, if things haven't improved, boundaries will be crossed. You can say, this isn't working. I mean, you'll come up with a better way to do this, right?
Yeah. Maybe you do the slow fade.
But Parmilla won't be surprised because you've talked to her about this already. And, you know, you gave her 6 months or you gave her 10 months or you did give her the whole year. So, yeah, she won't be surprised. I'm sorry this is happening, though. It's always really, really hard. It's so hard.
Yeah. And, you know, we have both been in that situation, Joss, where we have said, like, if we just tell our friend the right way, if we give her enough guidance, if we show her how to do life, you know, whatever aspect of life it is, then she'll take our advice, which is a huge assumption that you are right and that someone is going to listen to you and that your way will be effective with their situation. You know,
Kristen, let's face it, we are right. Sorry. Because, no, I'm joking, but not. You know, you and I have a really great set. We can see the pathway that they're on and see what they need to do to fix it. That's what our problem is, because we can see it so clearly that if they just did this and this and this, ta-da, it all be
done. Dr. Khaleesi recently told me that I was a planner.
Yeah.
She said, you know, you're great at making a plan for how to get from A to B. And it's true.
Yeah.
I'm great at making a plan for me to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference, you know, that if I say, oh, okay, Dr. Khaleesi, you want me to help you to get from A to B. Here are the things that I would do. He's going to do them.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, that you would do them or my sister would do them. You know, it's like, this is what works for me, period.
Yeah.
And every person's job is to figure out what works for them. It sounds like Parmilla is really committed to sort of being a flailer.
Yeah. And
I don't mean a failure, but just sort of like, I'm the kind of person who just is the most unlucky and all these things happen to me, and classic me, right?
Yeah.
And people can get really stuck in that. I was talking with a very good friend of mine. We've been friends for decades. And she recently moved and everything went wrong. Cable couldn't be installed. It took like 5 trips from the cable company. There was the storm that knocked out the power. Her bathtub needed to be replaced, even though the inspector had said that it was fine. It wasn't. The movers dinged up all these things, and you know, and it, everything, because of who this friend was, everything felt very personal.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the storm was not aimed at her.
Right.
It just was really crappy timing, you know, and but in her worldview, it's I am cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And these things happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't happen to my friend, but right, they would happen to me. And that's sort of her narrative of the way life pans out. And Dr. Khaleesi has talked about this, like you gather a bag of evidence,
mm-hmm,
that supports your view, like I am cursed.
Yeah.
That storm was me being cursed.
The right, move,
digging my furniture, that was me being cursed. The cable company, it wasn't that I have an old house. It's, you know, it's just my bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything feeds into that. And it sounds like Parmela has that same attitude of, my life is not a success. It's just a hot, chaotic mess.
Yeah.
And that's who she is. And that's who she wants to be.
At some level, I think that's right. That's who she wants to be. Because she might not know who she would be if she was having a great week where things all went well.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the single person who says, I really want to meet someone and get married, but they don't go on dating apps and they don't
try.
Tried, people, you know, they don't tell all their friends, like, I'm interested in meeting someone, who do you know? And, mm-hmm, and they just, you know, they just stay single, like my brother-in-law. And then talks about like how many kids he wants to have. It's like, hey, you're almost 50, you know,
you're
like,
done.
Reconsider.
Yeah, you're finished.
You know, I'm a big believer in people have the life that they want, or else they would do things differently.
Yes.
And
Heartsick has given her every roadmap to help her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
She could do it differently and have a perfect plan to get it done right. So,
yeah. So Heartsick, listen to Joss, because she's right on every point.
Okay. I just wanted to, I said I would do this at the end of this letter because the boyfriend really doesn't seem that kosher to me.
Yeah.
Not kosher. So the National Domestic Abuse Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. You can call if you are affected by abuse or being abused or just need support. And also you can go to thehotline.org or text LOVEIS to 22522.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.